My name is Rhiannon Brown. I'm the CSO at SOMA. I'm here in Bangkok today for SOMA Talking Insights on the occasion of our Asia Pacific conference, our 21st. And actually, I'm here with a face that many of you may know, will know. It's Dave McCaughan. How are you, Dave?
I'm pretty good, thanks. Yeah. Glad you guys have come back to Bangkok. Welcome home to my home city.
Yeah, it's great to see you. I said it was our 21st Asia Pacific conference. I think you've seen a fair number of those. Not that I'm saying anything about
you. I would guess, I think I calculated I've been to 16 of these Asia Pacific conferences over the years.
Yeah, so it's nice that we're back in Bangkok here. And you must have seen and heard a lot of the trends across, not just in Asia, because, I mean, you've also had a broad kind of global sort of overview on everything. But I know back in the day you talked about AI, and now we really hear
talk
a lot of people. And I just wondered what you thought about that, how you see the evolution, any thoughts?
It's actually interesting. I got reminded a couple of days ago by a particular AI platform that January will be 10 years that I have been working with them. And this is an AI platform for market research that does sentiment analysis over the whole of the internet. And it's interesting because the guy, it happens to be an Australian guy who wrote the algorithm, he refuses to change it because he says nobody else is doing stuff as good as his stuff was 10 years ago. You can argue that. But what is interesting is it was a reminder to me that, you know, obviously the last 2.5 years since ChatGPT sort of exploded, in the 7 years or so before that, I would estimate at different SMR or other industry events around the world, I've probably given 20 talks in that 7 years, case studies about my using AI platforms that were specifically for market research. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, I almost never got questions. Most of the time, people sat there politely and went, but this is this AI muck. You know, it's not real research. It's not like doing real things. The last 2 years, of course, if you're not talking about AI, it's like, oh, you're so behind the times. And I keep on going, no, you are behind the times because you've only just started talking about it, right? So it's sort of interesting. But what's then interesting is the way we went from that first 12 months of the GPT explosion and then, of course, a whole lot of other similar products, but then also other products that were other aspects of using AI for all sorts of things that we'd encounter and do business with. Mm-hmm. And now we're sort of, I think, two and a half years in, we're now into raising some of the more serious questions, not about using AI, but about how we use AI and how it maybe needs to be thought of as what do we lose or gain by using it.
Yeah, so you think it's a promising kind of discussion?
I think it's a really – well, first of all, you can't avoid it. You know, I'm old enough to remember when faxes were new, okay?
Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, you know, and I can remember when I first started working for a big global ad agency, you know, we had one of those computers that was half the size of this room, right?
Yeah.
And I literally was in charge of the ad campaign that launched the first IBM desktop computer in Australia.
There you go.
And, of course, this was, in one sense, totally revolutionary. Mm-hmm. But on the other side, we still had a lot of people, well, you know, most people were never going to have that. You'd never have one in your home, right? And within 5 years.
Look where we are.
Look where we were, right? And then what we've got to remember is that you don't go backwards. This tech comes, it changes lots of things. We just got to move on, but we have to learn how to adapt to it in certain ways. And that's the big debate that we're not maybe talking enough about in the industry. We're still talking about how to use this stuff, but not the debates about how we have to use it as individuals to keep our company brands or our personal brands unique.
Okay. In terms of uniqueness and everything, I mean, you've talked a lot about the origins of voice. You want to kind of expand a little bit on that?
So about 2 years ago, I was at a conference that had nothing to do with the market research industry. And it was a bunch of scientists. So it was about 200 heavy. Everybody had a PhD except for me in the room, but in biochemistry. But they got talking about writing articles for their industries, very high-level journals. And they were complaining about the fact that, you know, people are now getting some of these platforms to help them write the articles. It's a bit like if you've got kids and you've heard the debate, like in high school, should high schools or universities ban these platforms, mm-hmm. or should they encourage you to learn how to use the mm-hmm. platforms? Well, it was happening with all these professionals about high-end scientific journal articles. And out of that came the discussion that, well, if Rhiannon is a double PhD in biochemistry that works in a very unique field and she's the world expert, she writes an article, but she uses GPT or another platform to write the article for her, does she lose her original voice? And so the hashtag original voice really is about how are you going to maintain your uniqueness? So I always use the example for myself. Famously, my wife hates this. I have not used spell check for at least 20 years. I refuse to use spell check. I refuse to use Grammarly. And I do that consciously. I do that consciously because when I write an article, when I write pieces, that's my style. I can't spell. So what? Somehow people keep on asking me to write stuff, so it must be communicating something. Rhiannon a lot because she helped me get on stage at some conferences to do some rather unique presentations. And people not sort of know me as doing sort of, you do stuff in your own unique way, or, you know, you've got a different way of presenting stuff. Now, the risk of AI is sameness. The risk is that we start to sound or read like each other, that we're all grammatically correct. We all use the exact correct spelling. I always use the examples that if AI had been around a bit over 400 years ago, the English language would be short of about 400 words because they were the words Shakespeare invented and used for the first time. Now, if he was using an AI platform, it would have said, you can't use that word. You've got to change it back to something that already exists. And we know this is true throughout history, that originality of people's voice, the way they say things, they act, they draw, whatever, creates change. If we all say things the same way, that's a problem. It works the same way if you think about the way in which the uniqueness I found in the market research industry over my career has been that, yes, there are certain parameters, but think about statistical modeling. My whole career, different market researchers have been arguing about which is the right model, and different models come into vogue and go out of vogue. Now, I'm not going to get into that because I'm not a statistician, but if everybody was using an AI platform, which is using one consistent thing, there's an advantage to that, but there's a big disadvantage in terms of, yeah, but what if we use that model and we got a different sort of answer? So the point about original voice is that as you apply and learn about AI, please think about the outputs from AI and how you would express it or explain it in your own unique way so that we're all developing our own brand, our own unique voices.
Our brand identity as well.
Yeah.
No, that's super interesting. And I mean, Dave, you speak not just only at research conferences. I know that you see a lot of different industry sectors, probably more than most of us listening to this today. I mean, are they all struggling, or you're seeing anyone who's, when I say struggling, I mean, are they all in the same kind of position with where they are with AI, or you see any differences? Or
yeah, I mean, you know, if you think about, so I go to a cosmetics industry conference. Everybody's talking about AI. Now, they're not talking about it in the way we in the market research industry might be talking about it in terms of statistical modeling or something. They might be talking about, well, how they're using AI to develop new ideas for products or color depth. One thing I sat through a couple of months ago was three presentations in a row about how you develop colors for different types of cosmetics. Two of those presentations were about using AI platforms to come up with original colors, you know, like flirtatious pink. And it's
like in terms of the naming or like?
No, what was actually the actual color, so variations on pink, okay, because the variations on pink are unlimited, right? So, but how do you get to a certain one? And then of course, yeah, then how do you come up with a snazzy name, you know, like, you know, Rhiannon's pink versus David's pink, you know, or that's something like that.
Yeah.
You know,
yours is a little bit more potent.
Mine's more rough around the edges, but that sort of thing, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but you see it in all industries that it's having more and more of an impact, and people everywhere are struggling in the same ways, which is, well, what's the, first of all, it's the old saying about, we used to have about all forms of technology, which is, you know, rubbish in, rubbish out. Like, what's the source data? Mm-hmm. How good is the source data? And then where are you going to go with that? What kind of analysis do you want it to do? And then how do you want it to express the analysis when it comes out?
No. Okay. Yeah. So I'm going off now to market my own pink color.
Yeah, feel free, you know.
It could be better than yours. No, but Davis, was super interesting to talk to you. I think, well, I'll let you go back to the conference. I know you've got a lot of people to meet, and people are wanting to talk to you as well. So I say goodbye for now. Thank you. Until the next time I see you.
See you at the next conference.
Yeah, perfect.
See you.
Bye.
Very good.
Thank you so much.
Okay.